Hello, everyone. It's great to see you all. For the benefit of those I've never met, my name's Phil. I'm the senior minister here. Kids Holiday Club is such a highlight of our church calendar. I just have random people come up to me in the street and say, you're the minister of the church that runs the Kids Holiday Club. Thank you. And I don't like to disabuse them of the notion that I do very, very little for Kids Holiday Club. I just come around and have a coffee and eat some food and look busy and that sort of thing, while hundreds of volunteers do lots of work. But it's a massive highlight of our church calendar. And what I love the most is seeing so many kids hearing about Jesus. They have a great time, which is wonderful. But the real joy is seeing them come to know Jesus. This week, they've been learning stories from Luke's Gospel, one of the accounts of Jesus' life. And so for their final sort of time together in Kids Church today, at the end of Kids Holiday Club, they're looking at one more story from Luke's Gospel, which is that story of Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19. So I thought, why don't we look at it as the adults as well today and see what the kids are learning about. Now, in one sense, this is a funny little story about a man who was vertically challenged. If for anyone here who is under a certain height, you love this story because it's your chance to shine in the Bible. But actually, it's far more profound than that. It gives us an incredible insight into who Jesus is, why he came, his understanding of himself. Because often people say, oh, I think this about Jesus, or I think Jesus is like this. But this is explaining how Jesus understood himself, and that's why it's so important. I must admit, I struggle to understand Zacchaeus' world, not just the world of 2,000 years ago in Judea, but the world of a short person. A little while back, Victoria and I went to the theatre. I don't know about you, but as I get older, if I go to the theatre, it's got to be a very good show, or I get a nudge in the ribs about 15 minutes in for my deep breathing, as Victoria describes it. But anyway, to my surprise, I was really enjoying this show, and I must have been sitting up in my chair, because at the interval, this man behind me tapped me on the shoulder, and I looked around, and I thought, oh, do I know you? And he said, no, no, no. He said, but can I just say, he said, you're very tall, and you're very wide. And he said, I haven't seen anything. He said, can you, like, slump down in your seat for the second half? And anyway, I was going to say, why didn't you bring a cushion? But because you know you've been that tall for all your life. But I actually just slumped down for the rest of the day. But I didn't enjoy anything then because I was like this for the whole show. Because I've never had that problem. I was nearly as tall now when I was 15 as I am now. And I've always been the one blocking rather than the one being blocked. But for those of you who are vertically challenged, on behalf of tall people, I am sorry. I'm sorry for blocking your view. But at least you can empathise with Zacchaeus, because Zacchaeus is famous as the man who had to climb a tree to see Jesus. One of the things I love about Luke's Gospel is the different encounters Jesus has with real people. And so it's intentional when Luke names these people and tells you where they come from, because when these stories were first told and when these stories were first written down, you could have gone to Jericho, you could have sought out Zacchaeus, you could have met people who were there that day. It actually confirms the history of the Bible, which I love. You don't make this sort of stuff. The people Jesus meets were real people. There were rich people, there were poor people, there were tall people, there were short people. They are individuals, they're real. So let's look at this story from Luke 19. It's printed on your outline. Here is Jesus. He's entering the town of Jericho. He's not meaning to stop. Jericho is like on the way up to Jerusalem. By this time, though, Jesus couldn't really move around freely. Word had got around about his teaching, yes, but especially about his miracles and all the amazing things he'd done. More than that, word had got around that he was upsetting the religious leaders and that people didn't like this Jesus, so he was sort of like a divider and people were upset by him. And so I obviously wasn't there, but you see pictures of when the Queen came to Australia in the 1950s and people lined George Street and lined all the streets like that. I don't know if it was quite that massive, but it was like that for Jesus. People wanted to catch a glimpse of this man who's been causing all this upset. But here's Jesus coming into town, and then the camera sort of moves off him and focuses in on this man, Zacchaeus. And we learn two things about him there in verse 2, if you look. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very, very rich. Now, no one likes tax collectors. Even today, I'm sorry if you work for the Australian Tax Office, but No one likes paying taxes. But for the Jewish people of that time, tax collectors were the lowest of the low because they actually worked for the Roman oppressors. They weren't collecting taxes to spend on things they were excited about seeing happen. They were collecting money to go back to Rome, if you like, to pay for the Roman soldiers who oppressed them. Worse than that, the way they made their money was they were allowed to collect a bit extra for themselves. And that's why this man was so rich. That's why he was hated by all the people in Jericho. That might actually have been another reason why he couldn't get through the crowd to see Jesus. People might have moved aside for a respectable person, but not for Zacchaeus boy, if you get what I mean. So look at verse 3. It says, he was trying to see who Jesus was, but he was not able because of the crowd, since he was a short man. And I think you're meant to see the humour here. I think you're meant to visualise this. You're meant to sort of see him jumping up and down, trying to get a glimpse, and people sort of moving in and out of his way. But Zacchaeus won't be deterred. He works out the route that Jesus is walking on, and he makes sure he gets a view. Look at verse 4. It says, so running ahead, he climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, since he was about to pass that way. A few years ago, I got to go to Jericho. Jericho is about 40 kilometres from Jerusalem, down near the Dead Sea, if you know that area. It's on the West Bank, so probably not the time, sadly, to go there today. But one of the sites your guide will take you to if you go there is Zacchaeus's sycamore tree. It is almost definitely not the tree, but that doesn't stop the guide making money out of it and selling you lots of Zacchaeus-related trinkets. But it is a sycamore tree and it's in Jericho. Unfortunately, it has a fence around it because everyone wants to climb the tree. So anyway, here he is up a sycamore, whether it's that one or not, who cares, ready to see this man that everyone is talking about. Then he gets the shock of his life. Look at verse 5. It says, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down because today it is necessary for me to stay at your house. Now, we don't know how Jesus knew who Zacchaeus was, how he named him by name and how he says it's necessary for me to go to your house. Maybe he asked around, who's the guy up the tree? I think this is just one of those little miracles of Jesus you see all through the Gospels where he knows who people are, he knows where they're at, he knows the state of their heart and what they're thinking, even when they don't really know. But however he knows, he picks out Zacchaeus and he says, I must eat with you tonight. Now, Zacchaeus understands how amazing this is. He welcomes Jesus gladly, it says, and that gladness is because Zacchaeus realises, I don't deserve this. Wise religious teachers like this, you're meant to eat with the rabbi. You're meant to eat with the Pharisees, with the godly people who know their Bible and who live it out. Who am I that the wise teacher singles me out? Zacchaeus knows he's a sinner. He knows I'm not worthy of this, so he's overjoyed. The thing is there, everyone else there knows that Zacchaeus is not worthy as well. And they just cannot believe that Jesus has picked out Zacchaeus out of all the people there for this great honour. So look at verse 7. It says, all who saw it began to complain. He's gone to stay with a sinful man. Jesus said, why would you pick this guy out? You know, there are lots of respectable people in this town. Come to our house. You know, there are lots of religious people in this town. Come to our house. People who know the word of God better than this man. People who certainly live better lives than this man. Why don't you pick one of us for this great honour? That line, verse 7, if you look at it again, that line and the thinking behind it are so sad. And sadly, it is the great misunderstanding of Christianity. I think nearly everyone in the world has this misunderstanding of Christianity. People think Christianity is about people who think they can be good enough, who think they can be good enough for God, and who then stand in judgment over other people. But that's the view of people who have never met Jesus. That's the view of people who haven't understood Jesus and don't understand why he came. So many people think Christianity is about trying to impress God and that God should then be pleased with us because we're better than other people or something like that. That's every other religion, but it is not Christianity. It's not the gospel. It's not the message Jesus taught. Jesus says, actually, we're all sinners. Jesus says, actually, we all fail to live God's way. We all fail to honour God as we should. We all need God's forgiveness. Some people don't think they are sinners, like the crowd in the story. Sadly, that's often religious people who sort of think, oh, no, I must be better than others. Some people are more respectable sinners who just sort of keep it quiet to themselves. Some people are more brazen, like Zacchaeus. We all have the same problem, Jesus tells us. When someone once asked Jesus, what is God's law in a nutshell? How would you summarise God's law? Jesus said this. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. There it is. That's all God asks. But if you think about that for a moment, who can honestly say they love God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind and all their strength? Who can genuinely say they love their neighbour as themselves? It's so simple, but we're actually all too selfish to do it. And so Jesus says we all have a problem. He says, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't judge yourself that way. He says, you'll always find people make you feel better about yourself. No. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to the one man who did love God with all his heart, soul, mind and strength. The one man who truly did love his neighbour as himself. And then we'll see that we have no right to judge Zacchaeus. We're all like him. We all deserve God's judgment and condemnation. But back to our story, because both Zacchaeus and Jesus heard what the people were saying, and it's their two responses that are the key to this little story and why it's here in our Bible. So first of all, look at Zacchaeus' response. He teaches us about the impact of meeting Jesus. So look with me from verse 8. It says, but Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, I'll give half of my possessions to the poor, Lord. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I'll pay back four times as much. Some people think that Zacchaeus is saying, I'm not actually a sinner. Look how generous I am. Like he's trying to justify himself. I think that's silly and just misses the point. Now, the point is he's saying, meeting Jesus has changed me. That's what he's saying. He's saying, meeting Jesus has made me different. Yes, I'm a sinner. I've done awful things. But now that I've met Jesus, I want to change. And I want to do more than just repay what I stole. I want to give so much more. Under the Old Testament law that the Jews lived under, if you stole from someone, you had to pay back what you stole plus 20%. So that was sort of the way the law worked. You had to pay back what you stole plus 20%. But there was a special law if you stole someone's sheep or cow, where you had to pay back four times what you'd stolen. Now, why was that? Because in their world, if you stole someone's sheep or cow, you were stealing their livelihood. You were taking their means of living away from them. And so they said, no, you've got to pay back four times if you do that. And Zacchaeus says here, that'll do me. I'm not trying to get out of it anymore. I'll pay the maximum. Whoever I've ripped off, I will pay back four times what I owe. Now, it's so important to understand this. He is not doing this to impress Jesus. Jesus has already welcomed him. Jesus has already said, I'm coming into your home. He's not doing this to earn something from Jesus. This is his response to Jesus welcoming him. Jesus offers anyone who comes to him forgiveness. This is the wonderful news of the gospel. He brought that forgiveness by dying on the cross, as the memory verse that we sang together before says, when he took on himself the punishment we deserve for our sin. Someone once called it the great exchange. The one person who didn't need to pay for sin paid for it so that we who don't deserve forgiveness can be forgiven. Jesus offers anyone who comes to him forgiveness, whether they are a brazen sinner like Zacchaeus or a more hidden sinner like sort of most middle-class Australians. Jesus welcomes us as we are, sinners with all our faults and failures. But he does not leave us like that. Zacchaeus is a wonderful example to us of what meeting Jesus does for a person. A person who comes to Jesus says, well, now I want to live for Jesus. Now I want to please Jesus. I want to live my life differently to how I lived it before. I want to try to love other people. And I certainly want to try to love God with all of my heart, soul, mind and strength. That's what happened to Zacchaeus. But now lastly, and most importantly, let's look at Jesus' response. Come with me to verse 9. Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes, the good Jews, they thought they alone were God's people. They thought they alone were a son of Abraham. That's what it means to be one of God's children. And they thought that a sinner like Zacchaeus shouldn't be welcome. He shouldn't be welcome in God's people. God only accepts people like us, they thought. But Jesus is saying, no, the promises of God are for this man too. And in fact, salvation has come to this house, the house of a sinner. And Jesus doesn't say it, but I think they would have heard the unspoken next part of the sentence. Today, salvation has come to this house, but not to your self-righteous houses. You see, what these self-righteous people needed to understand was that they needed the salvation Jesus offers. They needed the forgiveness Jesus offers just as much as Zacchaeus did. And that's Jesus' final point there in verse 10. Look with me. He says, "For the Son of Man," that's the title Jesus gave himself, "for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That verse is so important because it captures why Jesus came. Right there, Jesus tells us why he came. Jesus did not come as a moral teacher, first and foremost. He did not come to just tell us how to live a better life, how to pull our moral socks up. No, Jesus came to seek and save people who do not know God. He came to teach us not how to live a better life, though that's wonderful. He came to offer us forgiveness. He came to welcome us in as God's children. Jesus came to seek and save people who need his forgiveness. Why were they surprised that he wanted to eat with Zacchaeus? That's exactly who Jesus came to save. But of course, what they all needed to realize was that even if their sin was not as obvious as his, they were just as lost as he was. And that's the point of this little story. Apart from Jesus, we are all lost. That's the point Jesus is making. We are all lost, whether we realize it or not, until we come to know Jesus. And then we can be welcomed in as God's children and offered the forgiveness he has won us. The question is, are we humble enough to recognize we need it, like Zacchaeus was? Because if we are, then Jesus loves to welcome us too. Amen.